Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our special edition of the James Dobson Family Institute's Countdown to Decision 2024. But now we know the decision has been made. I'm your host, Allison Senafonte, and I'm joined by two amazing special guests. We have Joseph Backholm and Gary Bauer, both veteran conservative leaders and contributors. In fact, Gary is our senior president of public policy here at JDFI. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Great to be with
you,
Allison.
Good to see you, Allison.
You know, we have a lot to cover in our special post-election show here today. We want to walk people through what happened and exactly what we can anticipate moving forward. So let's jump right into it. Big headline, we saw Trump secured a decisive victory against Kamala Harris with 312 electoral votes compared to her 226. Gary, I want to start with you. You've been in this movement for decades now. What did you see the Trump campaign really defer on, and what were some of the key factors that led to his success here?
Great question, Allison. I've got to wipe the perpetual smile off my face as I watch some of the headlines that we're all seeing. Look, Trump ran in some ways like a traditional Republican, emphasizing smaller government and lower taxes and issues like that. But he also was different in many ways. I guess this is where the populist conservatism comes in. He took the message that he had about what another 4 years would look like under him as president, and he took it to all the American people. He went into urban areas. He did the big rally in Madison Square Garden. He appealed directly to Hispanic families, not on the basis of them being Hispanic, but appealed to their values, telling them that all Americans, don't we all agree that we ought to have a secure border? And lo and behold, the experts were shocked, but Americans do want a secure border. It doesn't matter whether you're an urban Black American or an Hispanic American or Caucasian. And it took Donald Trump to remind us of the things we hold in common. He also did some really amazing things on tactics. The time when he turned McDonald's into just Donald's and served people Big Macs and French fries was a stroke of genius. But he was also serious in the public policy things he addressed, one of them being this issue of radical trans ideology that is coming into our schools. A lot of Republicans, even now, won't touch it. Donald Trump brought it up in every speech, and each time he acted surprised when, no matter what the audience was, they reacted with enthusiastic applause and cheers. One final thing here, believe it or not, Donald Trump ran as the peace candidate. I don't mean like 1970s, you know, no end all wars, but the idea of peace through strength. And that made him different than what the Republican Party has been associated with in recent decades. And, you know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And I think the kind of peace that Donald Trump intends, of a strong America that can keep enemies at bay while reassuring our allies, is exactly what America needs right now.
That strength and peace component played really strongly with voters concerned about the border, Gary. Yes. Talk to me a little bit about that and how that solidified people moving towards Trump's direction.
Well, the Trump message, as I mentioned, you know, did deal with illegal immigration and the border. This has been a signature issue for him his entire political career. He was mightily mocked for it in the past, but this time around, he said he was going to finish the job. And he also said something that will be a challenge, but it's absolutely right in my view, which is that if you are in America illegally, and millions of people are, Donald Trump and his administration are going to send you home. And the polling data shows most Americans want him to do exactly that.
Good points here. You know, the church responded in a big way. Joseph, I want your thoughts on that. Throughout our time together in this show, we were encouraging Christians to turn out the vote. What did you take of the voter turnout from these church communities? Did we get to play a significant role in this election?
Well, yeah, Allison, there's no doubt that the church played a huge role. Though I will say that voter turnout was down slightly in 2024 compared to 2020. 77% of Christians voted in this election. And there's also, you know, the total turnout was down from 2020. And there's lots of speculation as to why that is. It appears that 10 million of Joe Biden's voters disappeared and did not come out to vote for Kamala Harris. Why is that? Well, there's lots of tinfoil hat theories about that. But certainly the church had a lot to do with this. And it's true that despite the efforts and kind of despite attempts within the church to say, hey, it doesn't really matter. There's no difference. You can just pick whatever one you want. The super, super majority of people who identify as Christians voted for Donald Trump, for better or worse, depending on which candidate you prefer and where you're at on that. That's just what the facts are. But Allison, I think it's worth highlighting the project here as well, because of course, here at Countdown to Decision 2024, we were not only trying to educate the church, we were specifically targeting people in the church who are unlikely to vote. We reached almost 10 and a half million people, 5.6 million of those in the seven key swing states. There were over 6 million interactions with the content that we created here at Countdown to Decision 2024, which is really exciting when we want to think about the impact that we had, because in those states, it really was, you know, it was a couple hundred thousand votes that made the total difference in those states that swung the Electoral College in a way that we really think is better for life, for religious freedom, for freedom in general. So we feel good about this impact, and everybody here who was part of that, who shared the content, who did more than just vote, who was part of being stewards of the culture. And that was kind of the theme of the project here, is we can't just have an opinion. We can't just vote. We need to take responsibility for our country, for our future. Millions of Americans did that, and many of those are part of this audience, and we're just so grateful.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me every week, and Gary as well. We have just, you know, tried to create wonderful shows with great guests. So we want to thank all of our guests too that gave us their time and their expertise. I was clicking around a map of the final votes just yesterday, and it really did come down to a few thousand votes in some of these swing states. And it's really neat to see the data that, you know, our people were listening to some of these interviews and were moved by Jack Hibbs and Riley Gaines and Katie Faust and Michelle Bachman, these wonderful voices that joined us. So we're so, so grateful. And those votes really matter, Gary, for the next topic I want to get to, which is the congressional landscape. Republicans now have control of the Senate and the House, which is wonderful. I mean, we didn't know it would just be Christmas so early. But Gary, what does this mean for the legislative agenda in the coming years?
Well, you're absolutely right, Allison. If Trump did not have majorities in the Senate and the House, nothing really would have gotten done. But beginning with the Senate, this means that not only should his cabinet get confirmed and put into place very early on, but all these judicial vacancies that come up every month around America in the federal courts, and even, of course, the possibility of another Supreme Court vacancy, Donald Trump has the votes in the United States Senate to nominate and get confirmed people that those of us that are pro-family and pro-life and believe the Constitution is the owner's manual of America, we will have more of those judges on the court. So that's a major plus. It probably also guarantees that there won't be a tax increase this year, as there likely would have been if Trump didn't get those majorities. The fact that he's got a narrow majority in the House will be a little bit more challenging, but people shouldn't forget that the House is known for its investigative work, and the majority gets to decide on these committees what's going to be investigated. I believe Donald Trump and Vice President Vance is committed to rooting out the corruption that we see in Washington, D.C., as well as other places like Wall Street. So I think we're going to see some interesting hearings in the House in the months and years ahead.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. Maybe we'll find out where all those millions of voters went that Joseph mentioned. That would be great. Joseph, walk us through. We saw a lot of ballot measures, you know, essentially in the states. You absolutely had to vote for your president, but down ballot, we talked about the importance of that, and there were some wins there for conservatives. Talk about the wins there.
Yeah, there were some wins, but there were also some concerning losses in these trends, Allison, specifically on the abortion issue. Since the Dobbs decision overturned Roe versus Wade, there have been a number of state ballot measures on the question of abortion, and the abortion industry prevailed in all of them, and that includes some really conservative states that we would assume would have a pro-life position, like, you know, Kentucky and Ohio and some of these places. Now, there were 11 ballot measures on abortion in 10 different states in this cycle, and the abortion industry won 7 of them. So they still won a majority, which is a huge problem. We've got a ton of work to do. That being said, there were actually some victories for the first time since the Dobbs decision, which might provide a roadmap for future success. So while there are certainly things to be grateful for in this election, we still need to be sober and mindful of the fact that there's a lot of work to do on the abortion industry if we're going to create a culture of life. There's a lot of people who will go vote for Republicans, but then they will vote for abortion. Why is that? We really need to wrestle with that because, again, you're not going to deal with the abortion. You're not going to get rid of abortion until you get rid of the demand for abortion. And in order to get rid of the demand for abortion, we have to change the way people think about all sorts of things. So there's a lot of work to do. There always will be, of course, but there's certainly a reason to just, you know, be mindful that we are not even close to done. And so the vigilance that we showed, you know, going into this election, we have to continue that for a long time to come.
It's a very good point. Couple key wins there on the pro-life issue. Some losses, as you mentioned, things like legalizing marijuana we saw in Ohio and Maryland, of course, Colorado. So again, a really great reminder to keep up the fight and stay vigilant on your state policy. It matters, of course, at a national level, friends. But we're seeing just how important it is to get involved at a local level. And I've heard from so many friends that said, I think I want to get more involved now. I said, yeah, you should definitely do that. So good. All right, moving along here. This new administration, we're already seeing some initial appointments, which is so exciting. Gary, what are your thoughts on some of those key appointments we're seeing?
Allison, it's just been incredible. I keep hearing first rumors that somebody's going to be appointed, and then I think, he probably wouldn't do that. That would be really aggressive in a conservative, pro-family way. And lo and behold, within a couple of hours, the appointment gets made. You know, people like Mike Huckabee as the ambassador to Israel. I can't think of a more pro-Israel guy, a great Christian, ran a fantastic presidential campaign when he tried to get the nomination a number of years ago. People like Pete Hegseth at the Department of Defense, the Washington Post describing this morning as a Fox host. Well, he's a lot more than that. He's a U.S. veteran. He went to an Ivy League school, but instead of leaving that and going to a big job, when 9/11 happened, he joined the military and went off to the Middle East to defend our country. There's just one appointment after another that we're hearing that are really fantastic. And a couple of things jumped out at me, one of them being that even though these appointments at various agencies aren't in charge of the abortion issue, virtually every appointment that's been made so far, no matter where they are people that we know are pro-life and pro-family, and almost all the ones in the defense area are in favor of the U.S.-Israel alliance. So I think every day we're going to be very pleased as more announcements are made.
Yeah. And, you know, as the only woman on this show, I want to point out, it's been really encouraging to see so many strong females. We've got great strong guys like Pete Hegseth. We've got Mike Huckabee. We love that we're making men men again. But we've also got wonderfully strong women. We've got Elise Stefanik now, UN ambassador, Susie Wiles, first female chief of staff. So exciting. And I just think that that's encouraging and a good reminder to those who are so concerned about whether this administration hates women. No, we don't like abortion. That administration doesn't like abortion, but they really find and surround themselves with strong men and women, which is great. Joseph, last question for you. I'm going to let Gary wrap up here and tell us how to stay more informed in the days ahead. But Joseph, tell me what's on your heart and mind right now for the days moving forward. You travel the country. You are an amazing writer, thinker, contributor. You speak often. I know you are very busy this election season, but I want to wrap up with what's on your mind, what's on your heart for the days ahead for our listeners to be encouraged by.
Well, you know, the abiding emotion coming out of this election for me was a sense of relief. And I really do think it is grace that we have been given as a country. And I think we need to be mindful of the fact that we don't deserve that. We have not behaved in a way as a nation that necessarily merits God's grace to us. But it has been given to us. I think that the direction that the left would have taken us had they prevailed, had they gotten the trifecta that the Republican Party currently has, would have been very troublesome for those of us who care about a creation order culture. So I think we should pause and be grateful, but then we should also just be mindful of how close we have come, and in fact, still how close that we are. We still have a solid minority of our country that is enthusiastically committed to some very dangerous ideas. And so we cannot rest on our laurels and say, hey, because we won this election, we know these pendulums tend to swing. And I'm inclined to think that the left has gone a place that middle America is not inclined to accept. Can they, will they try to moderate in a way to, win future elections? You know, these are all questions we don't know the answer to. But my abiding emotion right now and kind of my admonition for the church in America is let's be grateful, but let's not take this for granted. We cannot say, hey, we have now put somebody in a position. They're going to take care of all the problems. We are both our own problem and we are our own solution to the problem. And so I hope if anything has happened as a result of this election, we have become more committed to the edge that we constantly live on culturally. And if we cease to be the church, be the salt and light, to speak truth into darkness, to be good stewards of the environment, the state, the nation that God has given us, bad things will happen. It happened repeatedly to Israel. It will happen to us. If we walk away from God, if we do not do what he wants us to do, bad things are going to happen. That's bad for our personal lives. It's bad for our families and our communities. So I hope that we have entered into a new era of eternal vigilance, eternal joy and confidence, ultimately knowing that the government is on God's shoulders. We don't have to carry the weight of the world, but we do have a role to play, and that role doesn't end until he takes us home.
Such good word. It's like that Christmas analogy. A gift came early to us that we didn't really deserve. More faith, more freedom, more opportunity for us to speak boldly. So I would say follow your blocker. You know, you've got an administration now that's willing to block against these progressive ideologies, and we should take this advance and really get involved, educate our children and our families and our grandchildren. And we know that James Dobson Family Institute is a resource database and is going to continue to be that in the months ahead. Gary, I'm so excited to hear from you as your final closing thoughts. I know that we can stay involved and educated through your podcast, which is something that I'm excited to start listening to. We can sign up for your weekly updates. Your podcast is the Defending Faith Family Freedom Podcast. But what are some practical steps that Christians can take right now? And what are your closing thoughts in our post-election wrap-up?
Well, thank you, Allison. I mean, obviously, we want people to stay tuned to the James Dobson Family Institute and all the things we're going to continue to produce for their benefit. Dr. Dobson, of course, who is the founder of this ministry, has been promoting the idea of Christian citizenship his entire life. This wasn't an afterthought to him. He believed and came to Washington regularly to promote this idea that as Christians, we need to be completely involved in the governing of our country. One of the groups in our population that came out in this last election, believe it or not, at some of the highest percentages, was a group called Nuns, not N-U-N-S, N-O-N-E-S. These were atheists, agnostics, people that have no interest in religion. 90% of them showed up to vote, and they represent about 24% of the country. And shockingly, they voted for very liberal candidates. So men and women of faith that have been blessed by God to be born in the United States, a country built on the idea of ordered liberty under God, it is your obligation in exchange for this great blessing God has given you, to be an active citizen, to go into the public square, to educate your your fellow churchgoers, to talk to your pastor if he's uninvolved on these issues, to find like-minded friends and get them registered to vote. Even though the election's over, there's another one just over the horizon. So there's a lot of things you can do, but the most important thing is to be discerning. And to do that, you need knowledge. And JDFI intends to lead the way in providing the information and material you need to be a great, effective Christian citizen.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for joining the show with me today. It's clear we have a lot of work ahead, but there's also a lot of cause for hope and a lot of momentum that I feel. So thank you, Joseph and Gary, for your insights and for being here.
Thank you, Allison.
Good to see you.
And thank you to our listeners again for tuning in, for watching, for sharing. I've gotten to speak with some of you on Instagram messages. I know that this made an impact in this election. Thank you to our guests as well for joining us. I think of some of our most fun conversations. We got to hear from Kirk Cameron, and we got to hear from pro-life activists and people involved on the border. So you still have time. If you missed those interviews, go back, check them out, and use that as education as we move forward in the next 4 years. We've been so encouraged by your response, and we look forward to seeing you again. I encourage you to stay involved with the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute on Instagram, online, on Facebook, with your financial support, and definitely with your prayers, as the fight will continue for Christian values and the things that matter most to our hearts and to God's. So until I see you again, friends, stay engaged, stay informed, and we will see you next time.